Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Still got 7 more days that I get to say that, so I'm going to make the most of it. So, God's blessings on your worship this morning, the first Sunday after Christmas. As far as announcements go, I did see that there's going to be a voters meeting next Sunday after immediately following the service. And I'm sorry? Yeah, sorry, the 19th. Yep. So next Sunday. No, sorry. Three Sundays, sorry. Like the week between Christmas and New Year's, I don't know what day it is. I just, I'm full of cookies and just confused. So, and then the week after is going to be the installation of the church council. Well, God's blessings on your worship. Please join in singing our opening hymn, number 370, What Child Is This?
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our
stand. The light of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord be with you.
and also with you.
Let us pray. O God,
our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Have mercy on your people, Lord. Have mercy, Christ our King. Renew us by your mercy, Lord. Accept the prayers we bring. Glory be to God on high. This is now our joyful cry. Peace to all who live on earth. Grace and favor for new birth. You we praise and glorify. Worship you, O Lord Most High. Gracious Father, Heavenly King, to your name alone we sing. Praise the glory of your name, now and evermore the same. Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, so begotten, Holy One, born on earth from realms on high, born true man for us to die. Lamb of God, you take away this world's sin, grant peace, we pray, with the Spirit. God the Son and the Father, God above, praise we now your glorious love.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. For by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery.' For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. This time the children are welcome to come forward. Okay. Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
You want to help me light a candle?
Yes, sir.
Which candle should we light? Probably the one that's not lit, right? Yeah, all right. That would be difficult. We'll let the philosophers worry about that one. All right. All right, you want to help me light it? Okay, let's get this one there. Ah, there we go. All right, we step up. You can step up a little bit, that's okay. And there we go, fantastic. All right, last time I let you blow it out and it got ash all over me, so I'll do that this time. All right. All right, why don't we go ahead and take a seat? So how was your Christmas?
Good.
Yeah? How was it good? What'd you find under the tree waiting for you?
A lizard that climbs on the walls.
A lizard that climbs on the walls. That sounds horrifying. Oh my goodness. Is it like remote control or what?
Remote control.
Wow, that's, never tell my son that that exists. What about you? A Lego set? I love Legos. You're never too old for Legos. It says 99 on the box, but if I'm ever 100, I'll still do Legos. And they can come try to stop me. Okay? All right. Fantastic.
Awesome. And a Barbie dream closet?
And a Barbie dream closet? My goodness.
We got an Xbox.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Wow, you guys had a good Christmas. Well, did you guys know that it's still Christmas?
Yes.
How many days does Christmas last, do you know?
12.
12. Just like the song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, days of Christmas. That's right. Okay. So Christmas is 12 days long, so it's still Christmas, right? So we can still say Merry Christmas to people. I encourage you to do that, right? If you wanted to say it on July 14th, there's nobody stopping you, I guess. So, yeah. So in our reading today, Jesus is 40 days old. How big is a baby at 40 days? You know, still very teeny tiny. Yeah, when my kids were 40 days old, still very teeny tiny, right? And he's brought into the temple, and he's given to Simeon, and he's presented to God in the temple. And what we do at this point of the year is we talk about, because, you know, we've seen Jesus, right? Jesus has been born in the manger, and we've had Christmas Eve, and we've had Christmas morning. But what we do now is we start to think about, why did God send his son Jesus? What did Jesus come to do?
To save the world.
To save the world? Okay, how? Okay, yep, he came to pay for sin, yep, and to teach us about God's word. That's very true. All right, what else did Jesus come to do? Does Jesus go on to do miracles to teach us about God?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does Jesus feed 5,000 people?
Yes.
Does he walk on water?
Yes.
Yeah. Does he raise Lazarus out of the grave?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. But what is the big thing that Jesus comes to do?
That he came to make us celebrate Christmas, to give and spend time with our family and friends on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day.
It is really important to spend time with our family and friends on Christmas Day. But I'm thinking something that Jesus does we usually talk about, like, around Easter time.
Oh,
he came to die on the cross. Yep, he came to die on the cross, right? That's why we make such a big deal about Christmas. Isn't just because, you know, it's nice to have the little baby in the manger and stuff, but we make a big deal out of Christmas because we know why God sent that little baby, right? That baby's going to grow. He's going to get big and strong. He's going to teach people. He's going to teach us about God. And eventually, he's going to die on the cross for our sins, and he's going to rise from the grave 3 days later, right? That's why we make such a big deal about Christmas, not just because there's a baby in a manger, which is great in and of itself, but because of what that baby is gonna come do, okay? Because it always goes to Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Well, can we pray and thank God for sending his son Jesus? All right, let us pray. Dear God,
thank you so much
for sending your son Jesus
to die on the cross for our
sins. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys can go ahead and go back. Thank you very much. We continue with our sermon hymn number 389.
Let all together praise our God before his glorious throne. Today he opens heaven again to give us
change, puts on our human frame.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A friend of mine is a pastor and a chaplain at a Lutheran assisted living facility. And I remember him telling me once that there always seemed to have a lot of residents go to be with their Lord in the days and weeks after December 25th. I suppose you could offer a number of explanations as to why this might be the case, but his explanation has stuck with me, and as I think it's the correct one. Because you see, during the weeks of Advent leading up to Christmas, they hear the Song of Simeon from today's gospel reading over and over and over again in their worship services. And then at Christmas, they're finally met face to face with the infant Christ, the consolation of Israel for whom Simeon had also waited. And it's easy to see how someone nearing the end of their earthly life would take added comfort in Simeon's words, asking God that he now be released in peace because God's word has at long last been fulfilled in the infant that we encounter in the manger on Christmas morning, and who now, in today's reading from Luke, enters the temple in order to be consecrated and presented to God. The peace that this infant brings truly surpasses all understanding, and it's a peace so powerful and comforting that even death itself is changed from a terrifying and empty void into the gateway leading us into the presence of God. That kind of peace was long due at the point when Jesus entered the temple in Luke chapter 2, the presence of God having long since departed from its walls. The Old Testament believers were well acquainted with a God whose presence moved from place to place. Having led Israel out of Egypt, God's presence led them through the wilderness by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God's presence moved to the top of Mount Sinai, where it rested, and it at one point was so terrible that the Israelites begged for it to stop and assumed that Moses had to be dead. When the tabernacle was completed, God's presence moved in a cloud into its center, where it rested on the Ark of the Covenant. And even here, God was continually on the move as the Ark and the tabernacle were hauled from place to place in the wilderness. After the establishment of Jerusalem and the building of the temple under Solomon, God's presence dwelt in the Holy of Holies. And then, as Israel and Judah continued to defy God's law and disobey His commandments by turning to other gods, God reveals to Ezekiel that His presence will leave the temple altogether, which is exactly what happened. The temple is destroyed by the Babylonians, and although a new one is eventually erected in its place under the direction of Ezra, the true presence of God remains absent until one day the infant Jesus is brought into the temple. You see, God now dwelt among His people bodily, not in a temple made of gold and stone, but in a temple not made with human hands. God appeared in a human body, a body not created by the will of man, but through the will of God alone, in whom all the fullness of the deity dwelt. And while you might say it lacked the flair of the Old Testament appearances, the appearance of God in human flesh was the end to which the law and the prophets strove for hundreds of years. That God would dwell among His people, that He would execute justice among the nations and establish peace through all the earth, and that He would live among them as Emmanuel, God with us. And perhaps because it did lack that flair characteristic of the Old Testament, after all, you know, things like plagues and fire raining down from heaven are kind of hard to overlook, most of the people in the temple missed it, but not Simeon. Not Simeon, who'd been promised that he would not die until he had seen the Christ, and not Anna, who, having lived in the temple for decades of her life, knew the presence of God when she saw it. Rather, these two individuals who are counted among the last of the Old Testament saints, they saw to it that this child was proclaimed to all who were eagerly awaiting their redemption and their salvation. Even now, 2,000 years after he was presented in the temple, Simeon and Anna continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as Messiah and Lord, their words having been written down in Luke's gospel and read aloud in our churches during the Christmas season. You see, Simeon's song isn't just for those who happen to be within earshot when he uttered them. They are for us as well. And the words he speaks offer comfort and joy to us now, just as they did when they were first spoken. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And yet Simeon knows that the life and work of this infant, it will not be sunshine and rainbows, and neither will it be for those who hear the words this child is going to speak. Simeon tells Mary that this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. Even Mary herself won't remain unscathed, as a sword will pierce her own soul as well. True peace, as it turns out, true lasting peace never comes without a fight, without opposition, and without words that for many are impossible to bear. Jesus himself will be responsible for the fall of many people. As St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the words of Jesus are a stumbling block that offend his hearers. Even his own disciples will be brought low by his words, not fully grasping what Jesus tells them, especially when it comes to the issue of his crucifixion. The Jews themselves, God's own people for whom Jesus had been promised, would reject him and kill him just as they had done to the prophets. Jesus will be opposed at every turn. His words will be a sword that will pierce the soul and reveal the sinful, evil thoughts that lie within the hearts of those who hear them. This is what Jesus means when he says in Matthew chapter 10 that he has come not to bring peace, but a sword, and that nations and even families will be divided against each other because of him. The sword of Jesus' words pierce and divide truth from lies. And even within ourselves, we become split between the good that we know we should do and the evil that our hearts desire. After all, at the end of the day, Jesus didn't come to unite mankind to one another. He came to unite mankind to God. And that was never going to happen without division and without conflict. It was never going to happen without death, his own death on the cross, by which he would in turn kill sin and even kill death itself. In other words, it was always going to happen exactly as Simeon prophesied. The falling and stumbling of many people, the piercing of the soul, the revealing of hearts for what they are. Wicked beyond measure, and desperately sick, as we read in the book of Jeremiah. However, Simeon also says that the child he holds in his arms is appointed for the rising of many people. The Greek word that Simeon uses for rising literally means resurrection, and is a glimpse into what will come from all of the division and the opposition that Jesus is going to incite. Death will come, of that there is no doubt. But death is not the end. The end is the rising. It's the resurrection of many in Israel, the word of God proceeding from Christ to his apostles and then to all corners of the world. The end is the enlightening of the Gentiles and their being grafted and brought into the family of God as full heirs of the Father's kingdom. The end is the empty tomb on Easter morning, with Jesus no longer among the dead, but risen. As Christians, we have the benefit of hearing Simeon's words with the hindsight of the gospel. We know the gospel accounts and how truly Simeon had spoken when he prophesied about falling and rising, about opposition and the piercing nature of Jesus' words. But we would be mistaken if we were to think that Simeon was only speaking about the time of Christ's earthly ministry. After all, the word of the Lord is not confined to a particular time and place, but it endures forever through all times and in all places. And therefore, it continues to cause many to fall and stumble. It continues to reveal the thoughts of human hearts. It continues to incite division between peoples, nations, and even families. But then it also continues to lead to the rising of many, offering resurrection and life to those whom the Holy Spirit calls into faith as the gospel is proclaimed to all nations. Simeon's words would be a lot for anyone to bear, let alone an infant only 40 days old. But even as a small child, the Son of God had already gone about the business of bearing our burdens, fulfilling the requirements of the law perfectly so that that burden wouldn't fall to us. Even at only 40 days old, Jesus was already interceding on our behalf, pleading for the Father's mercy and grace while preparing to bear the brunt of the wrath that we, not he, had come to deserve. And so thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for this infant, the Word made flesh, through whom God would speak, and whose words, divisive as they are the only path to life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen.
Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall, oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the child is Lord of all. Swiftly winging, angels singing, bells are ringing, tidings bringing, Christ the child.
Please stand for prayer. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strong hearts set on the certain grace of God, that we would sing his praises boldly and so bring his holy word to dwell richly within us, now and to all generations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Lord's blessings on the whole church on earth, that Christ's people may set their hearts and minds in the things above, and in love be clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our families, that they would be harmonious in God's love and ruled by Christ's peace, that the word of Christ would dwell richly among us, that fathers and heads of the household would teach and admonish their families in all wisdom, and that our songs, words, and deeds would be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who await the second advent of our Savior, that our gracious Father would give us faithful patience of Anna, to endure in our vocations and do the good works prepared in advance for us to do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those suffering wounds of body and soul, especially Alice, Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Gary, Bill, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Dan, Ron, Renee, J.D., Holly, and the family of Elaine Teagy, that our gracious Father would heal them according to his will and sustain them into the day of the resurrection of all flesh. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things we pray, O Lord, in confidence of your mercy, trusting that you grant us all things needful and prevent all things harmful to our faith, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, number 386.
Now sing we, now rejoice, now raise to heaven our voice. He from whom joy streameth, for in a manger lies, not so brightly beameth the sun in yonder skies. Thou, my Savior, art, thou, my Savior, art. Come from on high to me, I cannot rise to